Hello, listeners. You are listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. This is Zach, your show producer. And with me, as always, the inimitable Steve Gandra. How are you, Steve?
I have finally realized that inimitable is a good thing if you're humble about it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, of course.
So I'm working really diligently on being humble about my inimitability.
So what you're saying is you would prefer that everyone was a clone of yourself.
No.
You've learned that that's not
No, I would prefer that everybody would treat me like my wife does and and tell me where I can improve on a regular basis.
That's pretty good.
You know, because then you don't have to learn life's lessons the hard way.
Yeah.
If you pay attention.
Yeah, that works. That's a good one. So we have just finished, I believe, an Achieving Excellent Cultures workshop recently. When is the next one that people can get?
Well, actually, we just finished two. Okay. And, you know, the great thing about these workshops is they're just that. They're workshops. They're not seminars. They're not, you know, a talking head, you know, giving you boring lectures. They're all about other leaders learning from each other in working table discussions. We've got another one coming up May 25th and 26th, and then likely a number of others that we do customize for organizations, you know, throughout the year. But last time I checked, the one on May 25th and 26th has about 35 folks already signed up. So we have a little room. So if you're listening and you want to get in this, excellentcultures.com/events, you can still sign up.
Yeah, you're going to want to do that right away because it's going to what was the date of the next
May 25th and 26th.
Yeah, that's going to be gone.
We can only handle 50 folks and we have 35 already.
Yeah, those will be gone. So you want to get on that right away. But before you go there, actually, register right now while you're listening. Just go do it. excellentcultures.com/events. Steve, we have a great guest today.
But not if you're driving.
No, well, I mean, come on. Common sense. I mean, we have smart listeners.
I don't know. You know my mantra, tell me where I can improve now so that I don't do this while I'm driving. Yeah.
So, well, apparently I didn't have enough coffee this morning because I forgot to mention that, are we on Clay 1180 AM?
Clay 1180 AM, that's where we are.
Okay, great. And excellentcultures.com/events. Go ahead, register right now.
/events.
We want them to register.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to listen to the show, go /podcast.
Don't listen to me. Zach knows what he's talking about.
Let the producer talk. You introduce our guest and begin that
process. Well, we have a great guest today. I've known Mark for a few years and kind of traced him as a leader in his career. And we actually have data on how effective Mark is as a leader. Mark Rogers, the CEO of Interstate Transport here in the greater Seattle area. We'll get him to tell you in a second about Interstate. But this is a wonderful transportation company that has a great vision. Mark is kind of the new guy on the block and has taken over under new ownership and really done just a phenomenal transformation already from, you know, building a really good culture headed towards greatness. So, Mark, welcome to the show. We're so happy to have you. Our listeners, I know, are really going to enjoy listening to what you have to say today.
Great. Thank you, Steve, Zach. It's great to be on the show and look forward to the conversation.
Yeah. So, Mark, let's get started by, can you share some background on, you know, the work that you do at Interstate, you know, how long you've been there, you know, background on the company, you know, anything our listeners can hear, you know, we want them to be able to feel the spirit of your business and your brand. Because I've been there, I've met with the people, I've, you know, toured your facility, I've talked to folks, and, you know, you can feel it when you get there. You know, tell us about it.
Yeah, Interstate has a great history. Started back in 1933 with the McLean family and really has been a staple here in Tacoma in the South Sound. We're nothing exciting and doing anything cutting edge like a lot of the other technology companies. We're a trucking company. We deliver the products that people need, and that's what's exciting. When you go to the grocery store, you go to any store, you have things delivered at your house, most likely a truck was involved in getting that from point A to point B, and that's really what we do. So over the years, since 1933, we've expanded our trucking company across the country. And then about 5 years ago, the McLean family decided to sell the company, and we went from ownership of four brothers to three sisters, and we're now owned by a company called Saltchuk, very well-known and great company here in the Pacific Northwest that owns other companies such as Tote and Foss, and they've instilled in our company a lot of the values that Interstate already had, and then I was able to come on board 4 years ago to really kind of take the company to the next level and fixing some of the challenges they had in the past, but ultimately helping empower the people to go out and be the best trucking company in America. And that's what we're focused on now, is being able to go deliver products people need, work with great customers, not only here in the Pacific Northwest, but across the country.
That's great to hear. So what I was really impressed with when I, you know, I visited, you know, Interstate is just kind of the, you know, two things. I mean, the spirit of the folks, you know, as they're enjoying their work. And also, you know, the fact that, you know, you're right next to Lewis McChord Joint Air Base, you know, Army and Air Force combined. And the way that you guys view, you know, veterans and the military, given not just that they're your neighbors, but they're serving our company, or serving, you know, serving our country, and you've got them serving your company too as well as you're serving them. Can you talk a little bit about that, Mark? Because I thought that was just something that was really cool. A lot of people talk about supporting the vets and doing it in a meaningful way, but you know, you guys seem to really have it figured out, and I think so many other firms can learn from you.
Yeah, when I came on board 4 years ago, one of the things we knew we had to do was just get people excited about not only being engaged at work, but being engaged in the community. So we started to get involved with both supporting the base, but supporting a lot of other military activities across the country. And I could talk about a few of those, as well as other nonprofit organizations in the community. I'm a big believer of we can get too focused on ourselves, and the best way to get focused away from ourselves but on more important things is to go out and do service for others. So we started to support the military in a couple different ways. One, we hire a lot of vets, and we're excited about that. We actually hired someone to be a full-time recruiter to go find vets that wanted to come drive for us, work in our office, or work in our shop. And so we have a number of career paths of helping help our military veterans make that transition from serving in the military to finding a space in corporate life. But it's also about recognizing those that have fought for our freedom. So we were very honored to host last year The Wall That Heals. It was a half-size replica of the Vietnam War Memorial. We hosted that here on our site. We've got enough space for parking, obviously, being a trucking company. So we pulled that memorial out here to Washington, and we were able to allow a number of people to come and visit over the course of multiple days. So that was really exciting. And then the last thing that we've been working on is recognizing those that didn't make it back, and a big program called Reese Across America. And the purpose of that organization is to remember and to teach, especially the younger generation of those that have given their lives. And so the goal has been to put Reese at the cemeteries right before the holidays in December. And so next December, this coming December, Interstate's going to sponsor one of the local cemeteries here in Washington for the first time. And we'll invite the community to come out and join us and put Reese in remembering those that have given their lives for our freedom.
You know, what, as you know, this is a show about building great cultures, and culture is probably, you know, the most misunderstood word in corporate America, at least from all of our experience working on helping organizations build high performance cultures for 38 years now. And you know, as we are talking about culture being the mindsets, the beliefs, the habits, the attitudes that govern how people perform at work, those are the pieces of the puzzle that are so critical. You know, Peter Drucker said, "Culture eats strategy for breakfast." We say breakfast is the most important meal of the day. So, Mark, what I heard you say in your discussion just recently about, you know, serving the vets is that it's all about, you know, a culture of service where we're serving others, not just customers, but each other and the community. that is kind of at the root of what's going on, and that's kind of the spirit that you go into the work that you're doing for the vets. You know, how long have you had that perspective, that mindset? And, you know, has it always been a part of Interstate, or is it something new? And, you know, it's so amazing that that's the direction you're heading, because that's what really, really works.
Yeah, it really does. I think as I look back on my experience and my history in a number of different organizations, for me, coming to work every day has always been about making a difference. How can I come in and make a difference? And at first, I struggled with how can I make a difference in the trucking industry? Do I need to go choose a different industry where I'm really helping people day in and day out? And I think what I've learned as a leader and through over time is in any company, there's a way to make a difference, and especially in the roles that you might have. And so helping people get that vision that you can come in and make a difference in your role, in the community, in servicing our customers, whatever it might be, that gets people excited to come to work every day. And that's ultimately what we wanted to do here. Now, as Interstate always had that, I can't speak to that. I've only been with the company for 4 years. And so when I came into the role as a new leader into a company that already had a culture, you have to be careful in your approach in migrating that culture to really what good should look like. And so as I listened to our people, the part of the Interstate culture that I wanted to make sure we kept was the family atmosphere. The atmosphere when someone was hurt or down on their luck, everyone came together to help that person because they were part of the family. But we had to fix some other aspects of the culture around accountability and striving for better results. If we wanted to be the best trucking company in America, we also had to change some aspects of the culture because the company wasn't profitable. They weren't safe. They weren't accomplishing some of the other key principles to be a successful business. And so, but I needed to get buy-in. So we went through a process of getting feedback from every associate on what are the values that are important to you as an individual and to our company? What's the input of what we're doing well and what we need to improve upon? And once we got that feedback and got everyone involved, we were able to really put together a clear document that we call our company identity. And really that defines our vision, our mission, our values. And then what I often like to talk about is our foundation principles, right? Principles are things that don't change with time. They're foundational. Just like if you're a farmer, you know you need good soil, sunlight, and water to grow good crops. The same applies in business. There are certain principles you have to be successful, and those don't change. And that's really what we've been focused on in building that culture and changing that culture to take Interstate from where they were to where we are today in a much better place.
Great stuff. We got to go into our first break, guys, but we'll be right back with Mr. Mark Rogers from Interstate. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better. That politics crush people, innovation and creativity. And before you can say rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategy for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
We're back, everybody. And, you know, as always, you're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM, and we're with Mr. Mark Rodgers of Interstate. Steve, where are we going now? I mean, we just got into values and the values that Mark's been implementing over there at Interstate and helping them to become profitable and safe. I thought safe was a good point. You want a trucking company to be safe.
Well, you want every company to be safe, but especially a company that deals with all the heavy equipment that Interstate Distributor does. So, Mark, before the break, you were talking about, you know, how you had gotten feedback from, you know, every employee and really kind of changed the direction that the company was heading in, and that, you know, it sounds like it took you several years to do that. Has this been something that, you know, you've always had a vision for in your career as a leader, or did you just kind of develop it when you got to Interstate?
Well, that's a great question. I think everyone's experiences over time continue to help develop you as a better leader. So I think I'm hopefully smarter today than I was probably 10 years ago. But there's things you pick up along the way. I often tell people I've worked for a number of companies and obviously different roles and much roles in the front line, obviously before I can get to a level where I am now leading the whole organization. And I think it's learning along the way, not forgetting what it's like to be a frontline associate now that you're in the office that ultimately makes the decisions that impact the folks at the front line. And that's important for me to remember those things. But I think these principles have really been taught to me. I give a lot of credit to my grandparents, who lived a lot through the Great Depression and some of the challenges that some of us sometimes forget and take for granted. So things around being frugal. And I think that's important if you're trying to create a cost-conscious organization. You know, my mother, we didn't have a lot growing up, but she always knew we had enough to go help someone else. And I think that instilled in me a desire to always make a difference in helping other people. But I think more than anything through my experience has been learning how a team is what makes it successful. I've played on a lot of sports teams when I was younger. Still like to try to go play a little basketball on a regular basis. But you can't be successful as one individual. You have to have a team. And I think that principle I've always used throughout my career. And I think that's helped me to be successful in making sure that I don't take the credit. It's really about the people here at Interstate that are making a difference. And it's my responsibility to lead that charge.
So I'm hearing these great principles come out of your conversation as you talk, which tells me that they are obviously not something you just came up with. There's things that are deeply, you know, that are learned and held deeply, like you got to make sure that you don't take the credit. You know, how do you discipline yourself to make sure that you don't end up, you know, subconsciously doing something like that, Mark?
Well, it's a great question. I think you have to set up a culture that provides feedback. So one of the first things I did when I joined the company was set up a driver council. And so I've got 20 drivers here in the Western United States, 20 in the East. We meet on a regular basis all day. And that's my front line. And part of the agenda is me sharing an update and holding myself accountable to them of here's the things that we talked about doing. And here's what we've actually done. And so there's a level of accountability, not just to our owners, but to our employees. And then it gives me a chance to say, here's some things strategically we're thinking about doing. Are these crazy ideas? Are they great ideas? How would we go about doing this change? And so when you get the buy-in from your frontline leaders and have that dialogue, I think it ultimately holds you accountable to make sure as a leader you don't get off track. And I think that's important for me. A lot of people talk about open door policy, and I think that's sometimes a term that's maybe overused.
Yeah.
But you do have to have an open door policy, but show it in the actions you have. And so I spend my time out at the fuel island with our drivers getting fuel. I spend my time with our customers getting feedback on the front line. And so where are you spending your time? Obviously, people have talked about and coached in management, the management by walking around. And I believe that's a great principle because it gives you a chance to listen and to learn. But if you're walking around and not listening and you're just walking by to say, I did that, check it off the box, you're missing the whole point. Coaching is about sitting knee to knee, listening to people and giving them feedback of what good looks like.
Yeah. So another thing that I'm hearing that I want you to comment some more on is, you know, you're so right. You know, management by walking around, all these terms have just become terms and they're overused and typically taken as Band-Aids rather than true, deep, soulful commitments, which is the difference between robotic implementation of a strategy and a deeply held set of cultural beliefs. And it's not going to do, as I hear you saying, it's not going to do leaders a lot of good to walk around and meet with everybody and shake hands and glad hand everybody if they don't really have the heart to want to listen, if they don't really have the heart to want to hear what their frontline employees, your drivers, are saying, who to not really listen when you bounce off these, you know, strategies, you know, off of people's minds, you know, that they give you feedback. Great if you're just doing it to go through the lip service of, you know, persuading them to become on board and be political about it. Nothing works. But what seems to really be coming through, Mark, is that, you know, you truly embrace these things and do your best to live them. Now, my question is, given that you're doing, you know, an excellent job of this, how do you impart that to your leaders? You know, not just your direct reports, but your managers, you know, in the middle, who maybe don't have that level of understanding yet that you do?
Well, that's a great question. That's always the challenge of a leader is how do you create multipliers is the term I often use, more people that are going to continue to live up to that culture. Well, the first thing I had to do was set an example. So when I went out and talked with our drivers, there were two ideas that were clearly given to go do something different in our business. One example was put a mirror on our truck on the front left corner. For whatever reason, when our trucks were being specced by our maintenance team, they thought, the cost of that mirror, let's not go ahead and put that. It was one of our female drivers down in Oregon. In my first few months, she brought that up and said, Mark, if there's something you could do to change that, that would be fabulous. Well, I took that. I ran with it, found out it was $15 to add the mirror. Now, if you watch, all of our new trucks have a mirror on that, and that was because of one of our drivers. And I share that story often because I want people to hear that when you share an example and you make an impact, we will listen and we will do something about it. So that's what you have to teach our managers. And so now my goal is to find our mid-level managers doing the same thing and celebrate that. And so what we do to start every meeting is we have celebrations. We talk about what people are doing good and emulating our culture. And that gives us a chance to celebrate and recognize those mid-level managers that are helping instill that culture throughout our company. But we have to live it. We have to talk about it. We have to teach it. We got to share the stories. And that's how you get it emulating and happening throughout our culture. We're not perfect at it, and sometimes people don't make that change. So you do have to be honest, and some people haven't made the cut here at Interstate. We've had to bring in different people, and that's the other thing, is people will notice if you've got managers that live up to your culture expectation, and if you don't and you don't make a change, then they'll say, well, nothing has changed here. It's the same old thing. Give lip service, but you don't do or act the way that you talk about each and every day with your culture. So those are a couple of things we focus on and do, and spending time with those managers, watching them and their place of work and how they're doing that and celebrating what they're doing well and giving them coaching feedback on how they can improve.
What a great vision. What a great vision. So, Mark, you've been around, and as you mentioned, you've worked for a few companies in your career. Where have you seen this type of culture start to deteriorate in organizations? And I mean, I use the word deteriorate because it never starts out that way. You know, Enron didn't start out to have happen what they had happen. It never starts out that way. What are some of the trouble signs that leaders should watch out for that, you know, our listeners want to pay attention to make sure that they're not so busy doing their business that they forget about the most important meal of the day, which is their culture?
We're going to have to go into that after the break, guys. This is our second break, which means awesomeness is still yet to come. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. We'll be right back.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say, rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
Hey, we're back with Clay 1180's special broadcast of the Biz Culture Matters show, also located at excellentcultures.com/podcast. We're talking to Mark Rogers, the CEO of Interstate Distributors. If you weren't, if you're just tuning in now, you want to make sure that you hear the beginning of this message. You know, you go to excellentcultures.com/podcast and hear it there, because Mark did just a phenomenal job of describing, you know, the type of culture that really transformed a company from one that was, you know, was struggling and losing money and safety problems. And he mentioned a lot of things that are no longer there, and not only not no longer there, but just really reaching, you know, the top of their industry in a very, very effective way. And now, before the break, the last question that we asked him was to give us some insights on, you know, this great culture that he has built and is continuously working on building and improving, what he sees as some of the trouble signs or where cultures like this start to deteriorate so that we can pay attention and not fall into the trap of running so fast on our treadmill, running our business, that we miss the important stuff. Mark, what have you seen as some of those trouble signs or deterioration factors?
Well, the good news is I've never worked at Enron or any other company like that.
That's so great.
I wouldn't know this from personal experience, but some of the things that, you know, I think are important to always look at is your management team and leadership team becoming self-focused versus team and organizational focused. I think often when we see these headlines, it's because there's selfishness and pride that have gotten in the way from doing the right thing for the organization, and they were concerned about themselves. So I think as managers and leaders, we have to hold ourselves accountable to that. I think there's obviously some other signs that show that, right? It's turnover, and are you seeing high levels of turnover? And so you've lost trust with your employees. You start to lose customers. Have you lost trust with your customers? And so I think turnover is a big key. But one of the things we do as a Sawchuk organization is we have an ethics hotline for all of our employees that they can call if they see something that's devious or doesn't make sense or feel mistreated or whatever. There's a 1-800 number they can call that's confidential and gets reported. And so things can really be found and surfaced, and so you don't get into those situations, because ethics is so important to us across Interstate and across the Sawchuk companies. And ultimately, something I always talk about is trust. The brand that I want to have at Interstate is that we build trust with every interaction. And so you have to have ways to measure that trust and look for that trust. And those are a couple ways in which we make sure there's kind of a backdrop or a way that any of our employees can let us know we're going off course.
So I heard another one of those huge, you know, culture nuggets. And again, guys, remember, regardless of what your definition of culture is, and there's zillions of them, the definition we're talking about is organizational culture. You know, the belief systems that people have that govern what gets things done or how we behave at work. What I heard Mark just say is that a core belief that can be a huge derailer that is pretty sneaky is becoming self-focused, or what's in it for me focused, instead of team focused. And then he gave us a number of signs like, you know, turnover, losing trust, and talked about the ethics hotline that Interstate and all the Sawchuk companies have to kind of spot out those trouble signs. Mark, do you have any insights for our listeners along the lines of, you know, how do we watch out for that self thing? You know, self is kind of human nature. We're all kind of, you know, we don't, you know, the first thing our 2-year-old says when they learn to speak is mine, and it kind of seems to come with human nature. How do you guys, you know, pay attention to that? And what are some of the things that you do as a leader to kind of watch for that before it gets to the ethics hotline?
Yeah, I think one of the things that we really focus on is more team goals versus individual goals. Obviously, it's important to have some individual goals, but when we're doing our annual reviews or semi-annual mid-year reviews, a lot of the goals are around the team, the business units or the group that they're a part of. And when you keep it team focused and a lot of times interlocked goals where two departments have to support one another to be successful, because a lot of times that self-focus isn't just an individual. It can sometimes be departments when you have large organizations. When I was running a billion-dollar organization before, what I often found was the challenge between departments, that one wanted to be successful at the cost of another department. And helping people see that's not the vision of the organization. We want to be successful across the whole organization and for all of our stakeholders. So finding a way to set goals, set expectations, set measurements that interconnect people, individuals, and teams helps keep that focus around winning together. One of the other fun things we did was just kind of kudos celebration in being able to recognize someone else. You could never recognize yourself. You always had to be nominated or recognized by someone else. And again, I think that just creating a program in which the recognition comes from others also gets your focus on away from yourself and around the other good work that people are doing around to support you to be successful.
So another huge best practice, guys, setting systems and processes in place that focus on winning together versus individual winning, huge. I mean, if we've got a whole team full of folks who are focused on serving each other and winning together, I mean, we hear this in high-performance sports teams. We hear this in, high-performance military strike forces. where it's all about the team and what can we do for each other, not just what's in it for me. It sounds like, you know, Mark has some really good strategies, you know, around that. And by all means, that's right on the money. So Mark, Gallup has just sold us in America recently on the whole employee engagement phenomena, I'll call it, for lack of a better way to describe it, you know, to the point where we now know that in America, 70%+ of American workers tell the confidential poll that they're disengaged at work. I think it actually improved in the last survey. We went from 70.5 or 71% to 69.5% now say they're disengaged. Globally, it's 80% are disengaged at work. The last poll actually shared that 18% actually told the confidential poll that they hated their jobs. And the most common reason for hating their jobs was they hated their boss. Jim Clifton, the CEO of the Gallup organization, wrote in his cover memo when he released the poll that we have a new generation of managers from hell who are these bosses that are hated. And no one quits a company. They quit a boss. So my question is, you know, Mark, where have you seen the connection between, you know, employee engagement and, you know, the culture that you just defined, you know, that I call a culture of ethics and values that supports employee engagement? Are they connected at all, or what's your insight on that?
They're absolutely connected. I absolutely believe those studies and also the comments you made around people don't quit their jobs, they quit their boss. And I think there's a big part of that. It really goes back to my comment earlier around trust. What are we doing as leaders to build trust with our employees and all of our stakeholders? And when you think about building trust, right, it's having good communication and regular communication. So our expectation is that you're having one-on-one discussions with your employees every week. You're touching base on a daily basis. But beyond that, you're helping them see the opportunities that they have. What's been so fun the last 4 years here at Interstate is when we have openings, when we're growing, we're creating opportunities, we're promoting from within. And people are starting to see that. They're starting to make decisions and risks of things because they see that opportunity. I've got a young man getting ready to move out to Minnesota, convinced him during the winter time to take a role out there because he knows it's going to help him in his career, leaving beautiful here in Washington to go support a customer out there. It's because
to get frozen to the ground in Minnesota. To get frozen to the ground in Minnesota. So that's got to be a huge element of trust building there.
Absolutely. I lived in Wisconsin for 5 winters. It's tough. It gets really cold there, but it's a great opportunity. But I think it's also engagement with our employees. It's getting engaged like what we're talking about with the military, with service. We love to go over to the Emergency Food Network here in Tacoma and work as a team supporting people that are in need. And when you're doing that, bosses and employees, you're building a deeper relationship. You're listening. But ultimately, it comes down to individuals being committed to that culture. And there are bad bosses out there, and it's our job as leaders to identify those folks and determine that maybe being a boss isn't a good, being a manager isn't the right role for them, that being an individual contributor is more up their alley. Because not everyone is a great manager. But taking the time and programs like what you were talking about, Steve, the great programs you have with your company to help people live, not just know, about how to create that culture, how to live that culture, because the culture is made up of individual and departments' work and their engagement. That's what makes up a whole organization. And so it's one at a time, taking that on, engaging our employees, and getting them and making a difference. And that's what engages them. People want to be a part of making a difference and doing something that's fun, exciting, and ultimately helps others. And if we can do that, we can offer that as leaders, I think people will get more and more engaged.
Fabulous stuff. All right, guys, you need to get your notepads out because our last section of the show is coming up right now, right after these messages. You're listening to Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com.
Remember when your company was awesome? It was you against the world. Successful strategy, to-do list, done, supersonic growth. But over time, the sharp edge gets dull, and good is good enough. Why? Because companies forget that bigger is not always better, that politics crush people, innovation, and creativity. And before you can say, rotten corporate culture, social media posts are infecting your business. The answer? It's not just your corporate strategies, it's your corporate culture. Excellent companies know that bad culture eats great strategies for breakfast. These guys really get it. Whether you're a family biz or a Fortune 500 or a new biz and want to get it right, excellent cultures can bring you back to awesome because they get it. What they know for sure? You don't need another consultant. Excellent cultures gives you what you need to get what you want. Bottom line business results that last. How do they do it? With successful business leaders as coaches and proven scientific data. They read your company's culture from inside out. Think MRI. They give you fast, accurate bottom line tactics. They don't treat symptoms, they go for the cure. Based on science, they reveal the hearts and minds of your people using proven and concise data, not warm and fuzzy psychobabble. And here's the kicker. You get supervisors who coach and inspire, workers who love their work, and everyone, that's everyone, not just the boss, takes ownership and accountability. It just doesn't get much better than this. And if you're wondering if Excellent Cultures works, just ask a few of their grads. Don't let the culture monster eat your strategy for breakfast. Check it out for some free advice from one of their experts now, or start it yourself with their complimentary online business culture MRI.
All right, here we go, Steve. Are you ready for this? Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com. Are you ready for the final round here?
Well, I heard so many great tidbits and great nuggets of great culture in the last round from Mark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it almost feels like we're going to run out of time before we get the brain download that we really need from this guy who really gets it.
Right.
So, Mark, a couple questions really quick on what you shared last, and then we'll get into, you know, some key takeaways for leaders. I heard the statement, we'd love to go work as a team, you know, serving in the community. It's so easy for folks to just show up for those kind of things because, you know, the boss says so, or because it's kind of what we're doing, or it's what I need to do to keep my job. How do you inject the spirit that results in the, you know, outcome of we really love to go do this, you know, into an organization that has, a few thousand employees like you do?
Well, going back to trust, we never force anyone to be involved in that. It is all volunteer. But I think the best example was I had my sales team out here recently, and we divided them up in two teams and made it a competition of service. So you talk about people that are competitive anyways, but you give them a reason to be competitive. They loved it. They wanted to do it, and they look forward to doing it again. And I think that's how we engage them. We make it fun. We make it exciting. We make it competitive, because ultimately that's part of our culture here at Interstate is being competitive. We come to work every day wanting to win.
Yeah. How's that for a novel idea of balancing an engaged workforce with an effective workforce? Engagement, you know, Gallup has sold us is the only thing. No, it's not. It's you can have the most engaged, kumbaya, everybody hug each other organization and go out of business. It's got to be both engagement and effectiveness. And Mark just told us that what about taking sales folks who are competitive individuals anyway and focus the competition on how do we outperform each other by serving instead of crushing each other and bragging when we win on something that really is focused on what's in it for me. Phenomenal idea. Just, you know, really cool. And I bet your guys really loved that experience because not only did they focus on who's going to win, and somebody did, but they got the benefit of knowing that while they were doing it, they were really benefiting somebody else.
Yeah, and there was even a business learning principle from it. We gave them specific directions to go door to door to collect food for the needy and hungry, and They said, here's a more innovative way. We're going to go to the grocery store and get them to donate. So they have a whole bunch of grocery stores. They changed the rules. We're innovative and got a lot more food than we anticipated. And so that I thought that was great. I'd love to tie it back to, you know, my expectation of innovation to go out and deliver the accountable results, which was get as much food as we can to help the people here in the South Sound.
Yeah, that's a great, great idea. Great concept. So, Mark, as we kind of wind down and zero in on kind of our real takeaways, if you could put your coach's hat on for a second, and, you know, what can you tell developing and aspiring leaders? You know, what are the key critical, you know, scenarios? What can they really start doing differently that will get them moving in the direction of the kind of both engaged and effective high-performance team culture that you've described? What should leaders be focusing on learning and developing to get better at this?
Well, I think it depends on where you are in your evolution, because clearly every situation's a little different. But my specific situation here at Interstate, it was first communicating the why. I had to engage people with the why do we need to change? Because as we hear a lot, change management is one of the hardest things. People don't yep. like change. Yet there's plenty of examples of great change. I love the change I made 20 years ago, marrying a beautiful woman and starting a family. That was a great change from being single to being married. And then adding kids was a big change, but we love them most of the time. I got a lot of teenagers now, so that's a little questionable some days.
But, you wonder if that was the right decision. Yeah, I get it.
But that change was good as well. So it starts with communicating the why. Why do we want to change the culture? Why do we want to improve the culture? Why are we doing these things? And helping people understand that, because I think sometimes it's hard as us as leaders to forget that everyone wasn't involved in maybe that discussion behind closed doors or looking at the numbers to see what we need to improve upon or being with that customer, hearing the feedback of what we need to change. So we got to go be transparent and share that with all of our associates, and that's what we do on a regular basis. And then we have to make a commitment to that change and actually live it. So there were specific things that I outlined to our organization that we were going to go do. And then we did it. We outlined a pathway. We continued to communicate it, but we actually did it. So accountability is key, especially as you look at today's world. Too often, everyone wants to promise a lot of different things in politics and business. But do you actually deliver the results? This last year, we were recognized as the safest fleet in the United States, the second safest in North America. We had made that commitment 4 years ago to become the safest fleet in the United States, and we did it. And everyone can point to that change and look at the positive results of that and the impact of getting our people and the motoring public home safely. And there's example after example of living that commitment and making sure that happens. And so I think that's how you build and change and live the culture is people look at you. Do you actually live up to what you say you were going to do? And I know that. And I think it's about being that servant leader, setting that example, being out in the front line and engaging in that culture that's required. You have to live it. You have to talk about it. I heard a CEO say one day, the only regret I had is I didn't talk about our culture and strategy enough. And so I took that to heart, and so I talk about that all the time with our people until they get sick and tired of hearing it from me. But that's what they need to hear, that's what they have to be reminded of, and that's what we have to live every day as leaders.
So I heard some great, great points, and that really, really are validated by research. You know, Mark just shared with us that most change initiatives fail. I mean, the studies show that, you know, in excess of 70% of organizational change initiatives fail. But the most common reason for them failing is lack of ownership. And what Mark just told us is that, you know, communicating the why on the front side and doing it in a transparent manner. Folks are smart. They know if you're faking it. You can't just go through the motions. And if you haven't picked this up yet through hearing what Mark is saying, you know, this is a busy CEO of a company with thousands of people that went from, you know, losing money and struggling and accidents and all of the things that can destroy a company into the safest fleet in the United States. And I want you to listen to the heart behind this. You can't just go through the motions. You got to have a heart like Mark has, that really wants to serve and is really committed to being transparent and not just doing it as a best practice, because if we go through the motions, that's what we heard on TV or read in a book or saw in a study. So we try to act like we're transparent when we're not. So my question is, we kind of, you know, my key question here, Mark, is kind of as we, you know, wrap up, you know, in terms of our time today, what do you do for yourself to develop that heart that really wants to serve and isn't about just going through the motions, that heart that really wants to be transparent, even though we're all humans and we miss it sometime? You know, how do you keep yourself on track, and what's the best way for leaders who, you know, are at the top of the organizational food chain like you are, you know, to make sure that they stay on track? What do you do for yourself?
Well, I think I am who I am because of my faith, to be honest. You know, I attribute a lot to my faith and belief in Jesus Christ and want to follow him. So from a religious standpoint, going to church every Sunday helps me. But beyond that, obviously my family, spending time with them. And then, you know, sharpening the saw is a term that's been used in the past, and that's really about, you know, rejuvenating yourself. And I do that through constantly learning and wanting to learn. And so listening and gaining insights from others and having a mindset that you want to learn and that you don't know everything. And I think that's sometimes easy as a CEO, right? You maybe have to have a certain type A macho personality where you think you know everything. But I remind myself, and luckily I've got a great wife that reminds me all the time that I don't know everything and I can constantly be learning. But if you put good people around you that also challenge you, and you challenge them and they challenge you, I think that also keeps you sharp and reminds you of really what it's all about. But it's really just a commitment to go out and spend time in the community and the things that do matter most, because at some point we all retire, and as you look back on life, I want to know that I made a difference in people's lives, not that I had the most profitable company. Earnings aren't everything. It is about making a difference in people's lives.
Well, that is huge. Live your faith, whatever it is. Don't recognize that you think you know everything. Recognize that you probably don't, and surround yourself with people who will tell you the truth. Make sure you have a good spouse that will always tell you where you're off track, and then make corrections because you believe that you know, you always want to learn from somebody else. Mark, thank you so much for being on the show. I mean, great points, especially our close. Any leader that can capture these will have just phenomenal results.
All right. We got to sign off, guys. Mark, stay on the line. We'll be right back with you. Hey, if you love the show, we already know because you're listening to it, send us an email right now at asktheexperts@excellentcultures.com. We'd like to answer any business question that you have. Also, you can get your free culture assessment right now. What's the link on the site?
excellentcultures.com/MRI. Yeah. You want to get it. You want to find out what's inside the soul of your company and measure it against guys like Mark. That's the place.
Gotta go. Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next time. Biz Culture Matters on Clay 1180 AM and excellentcultures.com.